So as we're looking at how people responded to Paul, and for us to, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll start this thing off and get the bird back here. It's been a while. Meadowlarkers, I don't know if it's the state bird for North Dakota. I hope it's the pheasant or the duck, but anyway. And the microphones are all set, and the camera is going. Okay, here we go. So anyway, how people react to Paul. And, you know, we could say the word respond, but they don't respond, they react. And that reaction is what it is. It's an action, and usually it's because of pride. Only by pride cometh contention, or contention only cometh by pride. I forgot how it goes. But pride is the reason we fight. It's just, Bible says, that's bottom line, is pride. So these people are hurt or whatever. Now, let's remember who Paul was up against. It's the same people we are up against. We are up against the godly law people. That's why Paul wrote Galatians, for those folks that think that the law is so important. And he was up against the leaders in the community. And, you know, who are you to tell any community leader anything? And then his third enemy were honorable and devout women. They can't handle the grace thing. They have such a desire to do everything just exactly right. And that's in Acts, I think it's Acts 13, actually. But anyway. But bottom line is, the people that we talk to or show or whatever, I'll talk about that in a minute, they all are believing another Jesus. They have received another spirit because they have accepted another gospel. That's the bottom line here, folks, is the people are, they're believing in another Jesus. What do you mean another Jesus? Well, the Jesus that they're believing in didn't die for all your sins, because if you make any afterwards, you got to confess them or get forgiven, blah, 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 blah. All sorts of different variations of what Jesus taught, but they're not listening to the risen Jesus, what he taught. So, as a result, they're actually believing in another Jesus. That's what Paul says, another Jesus. And they've received another spirit, and that's not the Spirit of God. Now, that says a lot about the King James rightly divided issue again. And then thirdly, it's because they've accepted another gospel. They've accepted this modern Christianity. They've accepted the Great Commission. They've accepted this new Jesus stuff. You know, they've accepted this modern Christianity. Well, why? Well, because they've received another spirit, and it's not of the Lord, because they're believing another Jesus. And that's who we're talking to here. Now, notice in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that Paul says we must do what we've learned from Paul. See, now, this is our problem here. What we say doesn't irritate people near as much as what we do. When you're dressing modestly, when you're not talking as loud, when you're not laughing at what you used to laugh at, when you're not going to places that everybody wants you to go to, and you're not participating in all that stuff, that's what bothers them. We've been saying this, that even the scriptures will show that it's the tribulation, the argument there will be the belief. If you believe in that, you're being in big trouble. Today, people can believe what they want. But when you start living what Paul taught, his manner of life, you start even just trying to do that, TV or whatever, and he doesn't say not to do it, he just says it's not going to be good for you. You know, it's not going to please God, and God doesn't shut you down for it, doesn't hammer you for it, and he just waits for the judgment seat of Christ, and that action will burn. So if we are any kind of an honest Christian, sincere Christian, we will try, because we understand in our mind what we should be doing, that's what Paul says, but it's that flesh, that's that sin that's in us that we still tend to follow. Well, we tend to follow, we do follow. So the issue is, if we make our changes in our life and do it with joy and not arrogance, we do it with confidence and don't, you know, pick on them or anything. Just be the person we are. And let's turn, before we get into this thing, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'll show you again what happens here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. These people went off to Macedonia. And it says here, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. People will see that. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So that's the tribulation. So we should be doing these things with joy, with confidence. And again, not arrogant, although they'll still pick it up as being arrogant and grumpy and judgmental and the whole spiel. But this is what, this is why we give up. This is why we get tired. Because we don't do it with confidence. We always struggle with somebody. We fight with people about it. We either fight mom and dad or families or brothers or sisters or your employer, which is, you know, that's got to be done with wisdom, your neighbor or just whatever. So, but if we throw it at them, we're finding out that Romans 11:22 is coming around quick and quick and quick. Romans 11:22 tells us that when people are tired of hearing about the goodness of God, which just about they all are, I mean, why would a teenager do the rebellion they do if they weren't taught about the judgment and the fear of God and hammer the kids with paddles and sticks and the whole spiel, when they should be taught about the goodness of God and how to play? It's a mature Christianity is what it is. And I just don't see the kids rebelling in that atmosphere, in that family style, that family manner of life, even though we still don't do things because we know it doesn't please God. It's just done without a hammer in our hands, you know? And maybe just teenagers wouldn't rebel so much. There's not much. How do you rebel against the goodness of God? You don't want the goodness of God? You don't want His long-suffering and His patience? You don't want that? That kind of a thing. So, it depends how we put it across. But anyway. And even says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:17, that these things are what's supposed to be taught in church. Now, let me say that these things of Paul, the Tituses, the three T's I call them, 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, that's the crux of what makes people change their lives as a Christian. If you go to a church and that's all they teach, then you're still going to be going to a legalistic Paul church. If you go to a church that doesn't teach those, then you're going to a grace only, everybody kind of church. So it's got to be done balanced. The goodness of God and the things that please God. That all needs to be preached. Okay, so if you try to change your life like it says in Thessalonians, you will get a reaction from people. And are you ready, Mark? Let's learn from what Paul went through. And the notes are there. I'm sure I don't cover all this in the sermon, all the notes, but those are the examples in the Bible, that illustrations in there that Paul went through. And you can bet if you try to change to live for the living God and you respond by reading your Bible, rightly dividing it, and trying to change the things that you can change, this is what will happen to us. People will react. Husbands, wives, children, teens, employers, fellow workers, neighbors, you know, the whole spiel. So this is what gives us the grief, and we should maintain our joy and confidence. And there you go, Mark, I'll be quiet. We've been over this before, but then everything we've done, we've been over before. So this is kind of a review, but I'm trying to do it in an order that we would help explain it to somebody, if not just to ourselves even, how this stuff goes. So round one, verse one, lesson one, we did a thing on scriptures. What are scriptures? Simple as that. Got to start off with what are scriptures. Second week, part two, we did the King James Bible are the scriptures. The King James Bible is the scriptures. King James Bible is the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13:10, that is that which is perfect. It is a word of truth and it must be rightly divided. Lesson number three was we show folks how you rightly divide something in a Bible. And people that divide by verse have to go to a school to have certain people teach them what these different verses. I've even seen them split verses apart. This goes to one dispensation and this one goes to another. But depending upon the school you go to, you learn which verses are which to what thing kind of a deal based on the teacher and the schooling. If you rightly divide according to the books, like Paul says, Paul starts out every one of those books that he wrote, then that whole issue is dead in the water. There's nothing to interpret. There's nothing to have to go to school for. I mean, Livia and Austin and anybody, you know, the little kids here can rightly divide a Bible just by knowing what books belong to who, and that's what you read. So then we also said we read all the Bible, but we apply Paul's things. Then lesson four, we went back before Paul Old Testament, Gospels, which are still considered Old Testament until Christ actually dies. And then you've got the Great Commission, which was fulfilled, and they received their challenges and their persecution that Jesus said they were going to have in the book of John. So we go to the Great Commission in Acts 1 through 8. And then we talked about the verses that just come right out and tell us we're to follow Paul. And there's a whole string of those verses. And those are the verses you show people that apparently they don't know what those verses are. And then Wednesday night we went after Paul, and those are the books from Hebrews to Jude. And that's the tribulation. And we don't go by chronological order because those guys wrote that stuff before Paul came along as far as all his books go, kind of in the same time. But they ended up at the end of the Bible because that's where the tribulation is at. So it's dispensationally in order. This morning, we were going to start looking at the actual ministry of Paul. Now, what is it that he was set out to do? Those are the things that we apply to ourselves and to others if they're interested. But before we did that, I got to thinking, you know, we need to go over again how people reacted to Paul. I mean, here's this man. He was a persecutor of the Christians, of the Church of God, and suddenly he was speaking for them. And he had an absolute marvelous message. I mean, the best message you could have. Christ took care of the law that they knew all about. He fulfilled it. He was the one that your scriptures even said he was coming. He fits every little prophecy that was done. And there was their chance to find out that he just took everything away and they didn't want it, so he went to the Gentiles. So how was he taken when he started telling people what he was telling them? So let's look at some examples. Very encouraging information this morning because we know that Paul was accepted by many, hated by many more. And we just have to realize that. And then we'll talk about it this morning a little bit more about how to encourage that little truth to deal with. Acts chapter 9, 21. Now, you remember way back we went through the book of Acts, 9 to the end, 9 to 28, looking at the life of Paul. Not so much what he taught, but how his life went. So there's a series back there on that if you want to get into some details. But these are just some quick observations. We'll try even not even to go over what it was he was teaching to receive this kind of treatment. We'll just go right to the way he was treated. Acts chapter 9, verse 21. When it was all said and done, was what took place with Ananias and that sort of a thing right after we got this thing rolling. We see in verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed. So there's that right off the bat. People will be amazed at what we try to tell them. And said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? They didn't believe. They challenged him. He's being a sneak about something. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So remember, his first message was, he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That was the issue they had to deal with. Again, there's more proof of that. And we see that Paul's message to the Gentiles, right now we're still talking to the Jews. So they were amazed at how much he had said, or were they amazed at how much he had changed? See, he was a different person. They tried to kill him for it, but look at verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So we know nobody's going to try to kill us physically yet these days, but they sure do try to kill your message or kill your testimony, kill your spiritual growth, kill what it is you're trying to change in your life. They'll try to kill that in a second, just like they tried to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, took counsel to kill him, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. I mean, they go out 24/7, people are not happy with what you're trying to do in your life. Now remember, this is based on the fact that he changed his life. It isn't what he was saying. He said one thing that bothered them, but they still said, is not this he that destroyed them? So he changed. And they tried to kill him, and they watched him 24/7. To see if they can't catch him. So keep that in mind. Look at Acts chapter 13. Here's another place. Acts chapter 13. And if we were to do this, we could start with verse 16. It says he's talking to the men of Israel, beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. So he did a sermon to these folks, and we see the response to this sermon in verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, he's done now, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So the Gentiles liked it. They wanted to hear some more next week. Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. So that they followed them, but for what? Persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, I looked at that for a long time, and what I see in that little spot right there is people are going to say to you, you know, I'm glad you're changing your life, but come on, where's your grace? Relax. Don't try to judge us. Don't try to put it. See what happened? I think it happened here. Come on, you guys. Where's your grace? Relax. Stay. Don't be so whatever you're being. This is that antecedent thing with grammar. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That wouldn't be Paul telling the Jews to continue in the grace, because they didn't have that as such. I think it'd have to be those guys talking to Paul and Barnabas. Hey, you guys, where's your grace? Come on, back off. This is your call, not mine. And I know we hear that sort of a thing. Look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be exciting? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Okay, so when people see the changes in your life and the joy or something, no matter what, I talked to somebody this morning, their child is going so bad, jail time is there, and yet they maintain what they need to maintain through it all. That would be so hard to know how you've been burnt and used, your stuff stolen as parents so they can make the money to burn against you, in the meantime telling you that they love you and end up in jail still, and yet they're holding this one person is holding their peace and joy as they deal with it. So see, we really haven't had the hits yet. And here, these people were filled with envy. If somebody sees that in somebody, lots of times they get envious. I sure wish I could have that peace. I could have that joy. Or I could have those victories and change those things in my life. And it says here, they were filled with envy and spake, verse 45, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So here you have these people that will have envy towards you and some of the things you're trying to change, and they will actually try to show you that, well, no, that's not right. That's wrong. That is not what that means, and da-da-da-da. You know this. You've been here. You're going to have people try to talk you out of what you're trying to change. It's not correct. It's not what Jesus really wants. Well, come on, let's get out of that whole mess. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay, now how did this go over? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. You ever run across somebody that's glad when you're telling them this stuff? I have. It's really exciting. I mean, I can't shut up. I've been on the phone again this week, and it's just keep piling across the phone waves there, and it's just really exciting. It's very fun. They were glad to hear what they were hearing. And glorified the word of the Lord. Not my word, but the word of the Lord. Because I kept showing them, this is what it says. Is this not what it says? He says, that's what it says. Well, then that's what it means. And he goes, wow. Where have I learned it otherwise? And glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to return to life believed. And don't get into the Calvinistic thing there. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So it's really going well. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. So they go after those that are walking the law in their little hearts and going after the authorities in the city fathers as such, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Get out of my house. Get out of my neighbor. Get out of my church. Get out of, you know, just like every one of these guys I talk to that find these things, everybody's just so anxious to go back and talk to their pastor. They just, I can't. I don't think our pastor's heard this. And they just get excited. And I never hear from them again. You know, Clarence fought that thing, lost him for a couple of months because he just didn't know how to deal with this pastor thing, and somebody else is going to go back and talk to some people, and he's convinced that they're going to love every bit of it. And I'm saying, well, I sure hope they do. There's a lot of reasons I hope they do, but I hope they do. But don't be surprised if they don't. And then it's just amazing. Expel them out of their culture. They'll kick you out. They don't want you to come over if you're going to be this other. Now remember, Paul has changed. We have to remember this. Paul not only tells people something he never told them before, he's changed. He's not killing him. He's not persecuting anybody. He's a different person. He's not just saying a different message. We got to keep that in mind, because some of the times the hassles we go through is because we said something to somebody and we haven't changed. Have we changed? Not since you were saved. I'm saying, have you changed since you got a hold of what Paul's teaching? Outwardly. Have people, well, it's that outward appearance. No, that outward appearance is still important. People hide behind that, well, it's just an outward appearance thing. No, it's not. There's what's going on the inside will change the outside. And if you don't change the outside because of what's going on the inside, maybe there's nothing going on the inside. I don't know. But if we're telling people things, they need to see something too. They need to see a difference. And this is one of the reasons Paul's getting the hassles he's getting, because he was changed, as well as telling people different things. Changed enough to get him kicked out of their whole neighborhood there. Okay, Acts chapter 14, here's another one. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Whoa, there we go again. I mean, it can happen. People can believe. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You know, some of the folks that are against you, it isn't because of them personally with you, it's because somebody else told them something about you that they want to be against. Somebody stirs the mud that's out there. You know how many people don't like me or don't like my preaching or don't like what we teach here, but they've never been here to hear it? They just had somebody else tell them what's the matter with me, what's wrong with the church people. I'll tell you what, if you could hear, but I know some of the church people that are no longer here, what they have said about you folks, you would not give them the time of day on a phone call conversation. Serious? Yes, serious. So they get a chance to talk to somebody, they're going to badmouth somebody, and then that person is going to be mad at you, and they never hurt in the first place. So here's another example of that. They made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. I'm not totally sure that that doesn't mean those Gentiles or those, some of those that believe, because he used the word brethren. You see what I mean? That's like taking somebody who is going here and turning their mind against the preacher or the teaching or Paul or against the King James Bible or against their music stand. If that really is kind of what I think that means. Stirred up the Gentiles. But anyway, that may be... No, I don't think that's what that means. But anyway, going on, chapter 16. We'll go on past that. Chapter 16, verse 16. Now, I'm not trying to manipulate words to stick up for what I believe or what I think is going on. This is in the Bible. I tell you, this Bible's got everything in here somewhere. And we're finding it more and more. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Who's on there this morning, Sam? Okay. Good to have them there with us. Isn't that wild that they're there? But I wish we could get a program so we could put them on the screen. We could just... Then they'd have to quit going to church in their pajamas and stuff. They'd have to be like us. Anyway. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. This is a story, Lydia, seller of purple, and these kind of things here. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. Now, what we have here is we have somebody that's supporting the ministry, but they really don't. I mean, it says, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Come on, these guys are good guys. And yet, we just keep on going here. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same. Isn't that amazing? I mean, sticking up for him, and he says, hey, you're the devil. That's quite a statement to pull out of there. But Paul knew differently. Verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates. And there they go. They get put in jail. They go into the stocks thing. They're abused, that kind of a thing. Look up at verse 21. This is what they're accused of, teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. Oh, I'm sorry. I said something that you don't want to have to hear, and then don't listen, if it gets to that kind of a point. But they're arrested for that sort of a thing. And what do? They stop them from making money off their junk. And whether we want to get into the physical aspect of that, or when you show up, or you try to show them something, or your life has changed, or whatever, you're going to affect their lives. You're going to possibly affect their business. You're going to affect their family, or whatever. But you will have an effect on people. In this case, the hope of their gains was gone. And that made them mad. Do you realize if people quit believing what they do in this modern Christianity, there goes the business for the local Christian bookstore? I cannot walk into a Christian bookstore. I haven't been in the bookstore for I don't know how long. I can't go in there. I hate that place. I've said to you before, I despise a Christian bookstore more than I do a gay bar. A gay bar is full of lost people doing what the world has taught them to be. A Christian bookstore is demonic, and it's deceitful, and it looks Christian-y, and we all get stuff from Christian bookstores for gifts, and you look at it and go, blah, this is just junk. So if people were to wise up to what Paul had to say about these things and about the risen Christ, they wouldn't be selling that stuff. The books wouldn't sell, the CDs wouldn't sell, the music is a huge moneymaker for the Christianity world. So yeah, Paul would affect all that stuff. Anyway, I'll look at chapter 17, verse 2. So the response to Paul's teaching is good. There are those that believe, but it's bad because there are those that didn't believe. There are those that got angry, had them arrested, had them punished, went after those that did believe and tried to get them to turn against Paul. I tell you, it's all here. I talked to somebody last night who's going to be getting into a church situation. He's going to get a chance to preach, and he's going to try to get a tough situation. But he knows what's coming. He knows what he's going to have to do. And he's having a hard time because the kids don't understand it yet. And tough stuff. Kids don't understand it when the family, the parents receive this type of a treatment for preaching truth or living or changing their lives. Kids don't understand that. They don't know why we can't get along with everybody. They don't know why everybody can't get along with us. Well, we're trying to get along with everybody, but don't shut our mouths. Don't change. Don't make me wear what you're wearing just because you want to be comfortable. I want to change. Don't make me not talk the way you talk. I don't want to talk like you talk. I can still be here. It doesn't bother me what you say, but I'm not going to say that. I mean, all sorts of things we try to change in our lives. Why do they? What's their problem? But it does. It bothers them. Just like Paul bothers you. If you don't like it, then don't go listen to Paul. If you don't like the King James Bible, then don't get one. Don't read it. But don't go after those that have one. Don't go after those that won't do some of the things all the other kids are doing. But that's what they'll do. Anyway. Acts chapter 17, verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned to them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Okay? And some of them believed. Well, good. I'm glad. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And one of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So there were some people that got into this one. They really did. I mean, devout Greeks, a great multitude of them. And of the chief women, even that's some of them. That's really a tough one to get. But, there it is. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, then they went down to the local scuzzy corner and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's King James Bible right there. That is written so well. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. And they just got everybody stirred. And assaulted the house of Jason. Now, what did Jason have to do with this? Because Paul does, and sought to bring them out to the people. You know, people don't like me. They don't like what I preach. They don't like how I preach. They don't like what we say around here. They don't like what I da 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 da. But they'll go after you. I have hardly anybody ever call me yet and tell me what I'm doing wrong or saying wrong or whatever. But they'll talk to you about it in a second. They'll talk to my wife about it. They'll come over here and I see them out in the yard talking to the dog. I mean, they will not talk to me. Same thing with Paul. So when they found them not, Jason, you know, they didn't find Paul and everybody there. Well, let's do Jason. If Jason's going to have you guys over, then we're going to get them. And drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." So it's just the same old thing. Go after somebody, somewhere, somehow. You know? Okay, look it down to verse, there's another one, verse 32. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." Well, they never heard this before, so I guess they thought that was kind of dumb. "And others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" Oh, good. Some wanted to hear more, and some mocked about it. Haven't you talked to somebody that wanted to hear more? Maybe not. But I bet you talked to somebody who mocked. It isn't that they just don't agree. They mock. You got to be kidding. So then you can just go out and do what you want to do? There's no law. Where'd you hear that? Well, that's a King James Bible. My Bible doesn't say that. Wouldn't you like to have a Bible that says that? That's been around for almost 400 years and da-da-da-da and all that stuff. And they just laugh at you. So then you can just go out and do what you want? Can you do that? Well, no, I've got, it says all things are lawful. I guess I could. Wouldn't affect my salvation, but it sure would affect my testimony. I'd call some other people to stumble. There's things you can say to them, you know. But they'll mock you. They'll mock you. Man, you look like a frumpy old horse. What are you wearing that for? Your hair. You need a haircut. Or you don't need a haircut, depending upon who they're looking at anymore. They'll mock you. You go to that church, the guy that shoots people when they come into the churchyard. I'm telling you what, if somebody comes into this church unannounced and points a gun at me, what would you do? You would shoot this guy, which is what I told him. And the next day at the school, the rumors were flying that don't go on that church property, the pastor will shoot you. And this kid looked at me and said, you really would shoot me? I mean, stuff like that. Listen, I'll mock this guy. I mean, that's ridiculous. Anyway. What are we doing here? I just so fooky do here. Okay, let's go to Wookie Dude. That's another one. Wookie Dude. Write that one down. I need my dictionary. Put it on my grave. Here's his personal dictionary. Never to use these words again. Okay, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Boy, that's neat. Among the which was Dionysius the why couldn't he just find somebody in smaller towns, you know, is the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Isn't that interesting how he still points out that when a woman gets it, does the women get it or something? He kind of makes a point of that. And others with them. Okay, let's look at chapter 19. How are we doing? Oh, we're doing plenty of time here. Acts chapter 19. Might have time to drink cold water this morning. Verse 23, here we go. So some other good things have been taking place. Da 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 da. Let's look at 21, I guess. Let's look at 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must see also see Rome. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Okay. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. Again, there's King James. That's a really neat way to put it. Something really got stirred. There was no small stir about that way. For a certain man, Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, he had a Christian bookstore, or even a church bookstore, as far as that goes anymore, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Boy, they were making some money here, or making some whatever they made in those days, sugar or whatever. whom he called together with the workmen of the like occupation. They had a union meeting and said, "Sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth." Kind of remind everybody, you know, we need to do this to keep ourselves eating. "Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people." This guy is causing problems. That's that King James Bible. That stuff stirs up the city. "Saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands." Ever seen that anywhere in the Bible? That's Acts chapter 2. That's Acts chapter 17. Remember that thing about we can't worship God with our hands? So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed. Because see, everybody in Asia and the world worshiped Diana. So, what was their response? They did not like this. What was going on? They were being told in this countryside and all of the world at the time that Diana is a fake. And the money you're making off of her is ripped off money. And now that got them to despise Diana. It's not only did you quit your local church, or quit what you were going to church, or quit what you were believing, or whatever circle you're part of, you despised it. I despise the Great Commission. I despise that. I've been part of that. I see what it's doing. And those that people don't understand, never been part of it, they don't despise it. So whatever you were saved out of, or whatever has changed in your life, according to this, we should despise what it was beforehand. And I'll tell you, you're going to have somebody come along that's going to test you to see if you despise it or if you have grace and you can put up with it. Do you despise the way you were before you made this change? Because if you don't despise it, you will eventually go back to it, I believe, because they'll drag you back. Or you'll be out in this world long enough and the reality of the going, you'll just quit fighting and after a while you'll go back there because you really never did despise it. You tried to do right and you tried to dress differently, talk differently, do things differently, you quit watching these for a while, but you'll go back to the junk because you don't despise it. I despise television, and I fight it every day. I despise videos. I know what they do to people. I've been there, but they're good videos. I know, fine, whatever. I personally despise them. I know what they do to children. I believe that the book concept is going away. I believe that we're teaching our children modern Christianity. I see it. I've done it. I despise it. Doesn't mean you have to despise it. I despise it. What have you done different in your life that you no longer do or see or say or wear or whatever? Do you despise it? If you don't despise it, you'll go back to it when things get tough. There. A little bitty sermon. Just kind of came out of me, LD. I don't know. That's a big thing. Diana was despised and destroyed her magnificence, it says there. You go back to everything I mentioned for me, and there was something magnificent about it. Look at the games kids played. I mean, those things are so magnificent with special effects and all that. You can't tell somebody not to do this if you don't despise that and destroy that magnificence. If you don't destroy the magnificence, they'll do it. I do everything I can to destroy that magnificence and despise what's been in my life in my past. How about you? Do you despise it yet? Or do you still let them see the magnificence of it? Because if we do, then they'll go to it eventually. Okay, when they heard these things in verse 28, I don't know how you react to what I just said right now, but they got wrathful. They were full of wrath. And they said, "I don't care what you say. Girl sports, band, music, videos, TV, tight jeans, t-shirts, Facebook, man book, God's book." They got all those different email things, all these. Hey, I don't care what you say. You're making me mad. You keep talking about that. I'm getting tired of that at that church. I'm going to quit coming because I'm tired of hearing that. The other day when we were at the fancy schmancy restaurant downtown, thank you very much, and I'm sitting there looking out the window. You know what? Stores were closing. Don't get mad at anybody, but the stores were closing, and just about everybody walking away from work was a woman. And I don't know they were all working, so I didn't take a poll. You going home from shopping or working? I didn't do that. But they're working. So I despise that, too.
Because we wouldn't have the unemployment we have. If the girls, ladies would come home and the guys would go to work and they started having kids, we could outbirth them again and take our country back. But I despise that thing. I remember when she worked. We both worked. We ran home. Whoever got the couch first, the other one had to babysit back. I remember that. We found out that she quit working. We just quit paying money in a second car. And also the other stuff that comes and you both have to work. It was an amazing thing how that transformation took place. Anyway, I just destroy the magnificence of that thing for the sake of your kids. Anyway, so where are we at? Full of wrath, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And they were unified. Look at the end of 29. They rushed with one accord. You know, have you ever noticed that sometimes you get something started in other people's homes, you actually bring together the enemy? Isn't that wild? Both people didn't like each other. Now because of what you're doing, they're friends. Pilate and Herod didn't like each other. And then they came to be friends. So all these people suddenly become one accord. This town can really get it together someday to go after this little place. I guess they've done it before, but I mean not for long. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they just all got together. Anyway. Okay. Time out.
We have to wipe the windshield a little bit. Okay. Next one. Here we go.
Acts 26, I think we are. That was 19, right? Yep, Acts 26. This is another one. You've been here too. Now, I all the things you talked about this morning, I'm just now thinking about all the stuff that this one guy is going to go through. When he's going to get a chance to preach to his church, and he's going to try to do it right, not just be a nut. I'm thinking of this other guy who wants to talk to his buddies who do something on the streets. They want to try to show them these things. I really hope they don't have to go through this. But Acts chapter 26, verse 24. Here's when Paul gets all done to this testimony to King Agrippa. And this Festus is there as well. And in verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, because remember, look at verse 2. Paul's happy because he has a chance to tell people what he's doing. He's happy about that. So it says, I shall answer for myself. I like that. He's answering for himself. Verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, see the Bible ties things together in there? Festus said with a loud voice, I also despise loud voices and I just, that too, it's not, why do we have to be that way? Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. That's what we'll be accused of. You're just a nutcase. One Bible? You got to be kidding. And Christ took care of, I mean, there's no law anymore for you? And you always, then they can say, so then you can just da-da-da-da. You're just fruit in a fruitcake. You're nuts. You're crazy. Well, but it says, right here in my Bible, this is what it says. Well, yeah, let me tell you what I think about your Bible. That Bible's crazy. It's just, it's full of mistakes. It's so antiquated. It's so old that it makes no sense at all. Archaic. It's stupid. You guys are nuts for being it. See what I mean? Look at all this costing you to go to this church and King James Bible and everything. Gee, you guys are just weird. What are you doing here? The kids at school know you're here this morning? You're obeying your father? Well, that's even stupid. What's the matter with you? Nobody does that anymore. Where have you been? What are you doing at home? Everybody else out there partying hardy, having a good time? Man, get with it, girl. Go, girl. Is that what they say? Go, girl. Oh, I hate that. Go, girl. Tie her up, Jimmy. Is it a girl or girl thing? Go, girl. Go, girl! You go, girl. There you go. You go. It's like a car. So you go, girl. Whoa. Anyway. Now look at verse 31. Now Paul, Festus just accused Paul of being a dingle for it. So if we look at verse 31, they knew this guy didn't do anything wrong. It says right there, and when they were gone aside in the little office, you know, they talked between themselves saying, you know, this guy hasn't done anything wrong. You know that, don't you? This man doeth nothing worthy of death or not. I mean, come on. This girl hasn't done anything wrong. Why you? But that's okay. They're not going to. Acts 28, they're going to keep doing it. I can think of some times I was accused of some stuff and said, what have I done wrong? I remember that. I just did what you told me to do. And I still getting murdered. Forget the ticket. Acts 28, verse 22. We got all done with what's going on there. A little going to Rome, centurion, prisoners, etc., etc. And verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. As concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. Well, that's nice. Isn't that nice that they come to you? I like that. Jump in the phone. Anyway. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. That would be so fun. See, it isn't just me. Once you get into the thing, you could talk all day. And some believed the things which were spoken. Ah, that's good. And some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul has spoken one word. And here's what he said. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, this reminds me of Stephen. Stephen says the same kind of a deal. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing. And he's not telling them this is them. He is just saying this is what Esaias said. He's quoting something. If these people want to get mad, they can, but he's not yelling at them. He just said this is what Esaias says. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted. And I should heal them. Now, why don't people want to hear what you have to say? Because we know the Scriptures say they don't want to. We know that the Scriptures say their ears are closed, their eyes are blinded, they don't want to get it. They don't want to, because if they do, then they think they'll have to change their lives. But that's okay. But we can't tell them. It's just so frustrating. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Response to that. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So they were thinking. And Paul dwelt two whole years, not just 2 years, but 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Isn't that good? Nobody forbid him. They didn't stop him this time around, but some of them didn't stick around. They departed up verse 25. They went away. Took a bunch of people with them. Anyway, there you go. We can learn from that. Don't let that stop you. But don't be surprised when people react the way they do, because this is nothing new. And then my question is, how do you react when you hear what you hear? We've still got some hard things coming to hear. And I'm hesitating only because how are we going to react to this stuff? This reminded me again of how much I just enjoy studying Paul. Not his doctrine so much. I mean, yes, of course, but Turn to 2 Timothy 3, I'll show you. But just to study Paul as a person. If I could do a series again, it would be the fourth time. We would just study the book of Acts about Paul's life. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:10,
2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast, this is just after he gets done writing about modern Christians, modern Christianity, religion, the first 9 verses. Because he says to us then, being that we understand Paul, but thou hast fully known my, that's Paul, my doctrine. Okay? People like my doctrine. Manner of life? No. People don't like his manner of life. Do we know his doctrine? Yeah, I think most of us are learning this stuff really well. Manner of life? It's a daily challenge. What's Paul's purpose? What about Paul's faith? And long-suffering, charity, patience, and he makes it a second verse, persecutions and afflictions. But it says he endured them, and the Lord delivered them out of all of that. And yet he says in verse 12, right after that, yea, and all that will. In other words, you learn all that stuff in verse 11, you will suffer persecution because you will be living godly. By following Paul's doctrine, his manner of life, understanding and living his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, his charity, patience, and persecutions and afflictions, that's how this thing works. So, that godliness is not the length of hair, da-da-da-da. Don't get that wrong. What it is to follow Paul. And then he goes on and says, don't forget now, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But then he says, but continue, thou in the things which thou hast learned, that's Paul again, and hast been assured of, that's assurance, confidence. You have assurance of your salvation? Well, yeah, that's not too hard. My assurance is the fact that this is what Paul teaches. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, of whom have we learned these from? Me? No, not me. From Paul, who learned it from the risen Savior, face to face with Paul. Simple as that. It is not a deep theological study. So you study Paul, you look at his words, you look at his actions, and you will realize the people's reactions. And Paul had a joy. Paul had a confidence. He had an understanding. And it wasn't just in biblical teachings, it was in day-to-day life. And we realize that people, our friends, our family, will not allow us to live that kind of a life. And yet, modern Christians, they want to have that happiness. They want to have that freedom. But they don't realize that that happiness is short-lived, and they don't realize their freedom, what it really means. It doesn't mean you can do anything. All things are lawful. But then there's some strings attached. So, again, modern Christianity is a type of devil does this. He takes the truth and he twists it. Modern Christianity is the truth twisted. There is a freedom. And there is a happiness? No. There's a liberty in Christ. And there's a joy. We don't have to be happy. I mean, happy is not our goal. I mean, that's our Declaration of Independence, I think it is. Pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness. I mean, look at the economy. Look at the gas prices. We can't afford to go anywhere. Look at the house sailings for us. Look at your situation. Look at your health. Look at my health. Now look at your health, not mine. Look at the jobs we have to do. I just got done, saying I despise band and what they do in school. Now look what I'm doing. I'm teaching it. Well, I'm going to make sure I try to do the best I can to teach it the right way. And we'll see how it all turns out. And you got the same issue with your job. Anyway. To have that joy and confidence and understanding in day-to-day life, not in a religious showing to other people, and within your home, boy, there's a rare occasion when the whole family, husband, wife, and even the kids get a hold of this thing. But like we say, that's the way it's going to be just before the rapture, when God cuts off the Gentile nation again. He's not talking about the second coming. He's talking about the rapture there. Cuts off the Gentile nation and goes on to his Jews. That's the tribulation. And then people will be concerned about his coming, whether they be shamed or not. They get this all mixed up because they wrongly divide. And it's profane and vain babblings. We will leave it at that this morning. If you want to see the North Dakota look, get a hold of the video later tonight. I'll have the introduction and the follow-up on there. And one of these days, maybe Wednesday night or something. Yeah, Wednesday night. Now, tonight, I think I'll stop the video right here.